will move back, I believe, to number 11 on our agenda.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, Andrew Norton, Wildlife Program Administrator. And we'll do these in tandem, number 11 and number 22. Number 11 is the Black Hills and Custer State Park elk hunting season. No change was proposed to the season, so no action would actually need to be taken on number 11, but it'll serve as a, hopefully an overview and introduction to the license number changes in item number 22. If you're okay, I'll go through this kind of a similar process. It's a little bit simpler issue. We did cover prairie elk last month, I believe. We finalized that, so this restricted to just the Black Hills. And this is all in response to the aerial survey we were able to conduct in February of this year. We try to conduct that every 4 years. Last year would have been 4 years, but we had inadequate snow because of that really mild winter, so we had to wait till this year. And we made recommendations last year for elk hunting seasons in the Black Hills, no change. And Byron Buckley presented an overview of this information, and similar to what I did with deer, I'd like to go through and clarify some of the statements that were made and hopefully add some justification for this. Primarily what I heard a lot of was a 63% increase in antlerless licenses. So just to list the chapters that we're looking at here, it's 410626, 410627, 410628, 410643, and 410647. I've been thinking a lot because I read a couple comments a few days ago, and then we heard some testimony today in probably the half a dozen states I've worked in, and thinking about all the species that I'd like to either go hunt or think about how they're managed. I don't know if there's any species that I can think of that we have such a solid scientific foundation of information that we do for Black Hills elk. It's amazing that we spend nearly $250,000 flying helicopters across 100% of the Black Hills where we think we have elk and go out there and count them at a detection probability of about 85%. You get some species where you reconstruct a population on harvest, where you harvest maybe 30% of the animals and you're relying on hunters to report that harvest, so there's a lot of error. This, we have a count of animals, we have about 250 cameras. Andy and Byron are probably going to correct me because I'm off a little bit, I'm sure, but 250 trail cameras that we've had in the Black Hills for 5 years. We do herd composition counts. I think a lot of the staff that were introduced this morning sitting back there go out in August, I believe it's August, and are counting herd composition of elk to get recruitment rates, to get bull to cow ratios. There's just an unbelievable abundance of information. We get age structure on these elk. We don't get that on a lot of other harvested animals. So I mentioned it last month that it was an understatement that Byron and Andy's program, the Big Game program, was able to project a population 5 years and hit that number that we counted this winter within 300 animals. It's almost unbelievable that it was that close. So I just want to reemphasize that this is the most precise science that I've ever seen that we can use for making hunting season recommendations. And that 63% increase in antlerless licenses is not to decimate the elk population. We're right now at 7922. Our objective is 6,000 to 8,000. So we're 78 animals away from going above that. We have 2,900 calves that we project to be born this spring. The projection with the 63% increase is that that population actually remains stable. So we're going to be flirting with the upper end of this objective and nowhere near even coming down to 7,000 elk, provided everything's average. So I just wanted to emphasize the fact that we'd have great data for elk, no recommended change to the hunting seasons for elk, but we'll go through some of these license number increases. And a lot of the comment was focused on populations, and that's going to be the antlerless harvest. But then we also recommended a slight increase in the any elk licenses, and that's because we're far exceeding our objectives in success and bull age structure in the Black Hills and especially Custer State Park. 100% success in Custer State Park, 100% of those bulls are 4.5 years or older. So you'll see some license increases, especially in Custer State Park for the any elk. So I can take questions on the Black Hills and CSB elk hunting seasons, or I could just jump straight to 22 and quick go through the license number increase.
Let's see if we quick have any questions. Questions? Seeing none, let's move forward.
Thank you. I'll try to buzz through these fairly quickly. The only slight change with the increase that we had was a shift from pulling 25 antlerless elk licenses from Unit 1B, that's in the Northern Hills, and Unit 7B, which is Northeastern Hills, and putting those into some of the antlerless seasons in Unit 2. People refer to that as the big unit. So 25 in each of those seasons, those 25 would be added to H2B and H2C. Otherwise, there were no changes to the license recommendation. Again, it would be a 63% increase in antlerless elk licenses and a 15% increase in any elk licenses in the Black Hills unit. So 645 firearm any elk, 1,200 antlerless elk licenses, and then for archery, 217 any elk and 135 antlerless. And the last increase was for Custer State Park, going from 5 to 10 archery any elk and from 15 to 25 firearm any elk licenses. And with that, can take any questions on the license number recommendation, but would ask that the commission takes administrative action here to finalize the license numbers for Black Hills and Custer State Park elk hunting seasons.
Questions for Andrew? Comments? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion. Moved by Commissioner Bartling. Seconded by Commissioner White. Comments on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor will signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, it is approved.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. Good job, everyone.